our next special guest, who is Catherine Day Phillips. She is represented by two horses in tomorrow's Queen's Plate, and she's kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here this morning. Catherine, welcome. Happy to have you on board.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we were talking about this a few minutes ago. You just made your way from the barn area on the backside, ran all the way around to get to us here, so we appreciate the effort.
No worries. Thank you.
Well, look, you think back on that day, of course, back in 1991, and your dad and all of his success, and, boy, that had to be pretty special to see him pull off that victory that day.
Well, it's funny, when I put the headphones on, the first thing I heard was that race call, and I wasn't really associating that you were going to be talking about it, but I was thinking back to that day and thinking back to the race, and, you know, it was a phenomenal day and phenomenal to be part of it.
Yeah, I think that if we didn't talk about your background and your pedigree, so to speak, I think we'd be remiss in doing that because, you know, you think about your family and what they've meant to Canadian racing and what you now mean to Canadian racing, and that's pretty awesome.
Well, it's awesome. It's an awesome day for Canada. It's Canada Day, and it's kind of all coming together.
Yeah, happy Canada Day, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Two horses tomorrow. Let's talk about the two horses that you're going to saddle tomorrow. You have Guy Caballero, 20-1 upsetter of the plate trial last time out, and you have Watch Me Strut, who is a great story in his own right. Tell me about those two.
Guy Caballero is he's quite a well-bred horse. He's head of a mare that we raced in Dixie Chicken, and he seems to be coming into his own, you know, nicely. He's maturing. He's learned to relax in his races. He's finished strongly and galloped out well in his last two races this year. So we're hoping for a big performance tomorrow.
I think I read that his nickname was Chaos as a two-year-old. Is that right?
He was a little naughty. He would sort of hop up on in the shed row when the riders would get on before training and pretty much take out any buckets or people that were in the way every day, every single day. So
you trained horses for 20 years, Jude. Do you ever have a horse like that?
No, thank God. I like the ones that stand there like a statue when you saddle them. But I've seen them. I've seen other trainers with them, and it's not a picnic, is it?
No, he's a bit of a challenge on the pony.
He's got the greatest name for a horse ever, I think. I think that's just a fantastic name.
Guy Caballero,
yeah.
Or Chaos?
Guy Caballero. No, I'm not a fan of the Chaos thing, but I do like Guy Caballero. I think that's just brilliant.
Yeah. How has he matured since those days, or has he matured?
He has matured. I was thinking this week he's been very well behaved and was almost a little concerned because he has been well behaved. But yesterday he was back to his tricks and jumping in the air, and so I'm feeling much better now.
It's funny how some horses, they are better when they're a little
tense.
Tense, or, yeah. Yeah, and other times you freak out because you go, this horse is usually so relaxed that you never really know with them.
Well, as a trainer, you always hope to have them quiet, and then when they're quiet, you think, uh-oh.
What's wrong? Yeah.
Wait a minute.
One of the best fillies I ever trained, if she didn't wash out before the race, she didn't run well.
Oh.
And people would go, oh, your filly's all washed out. I said, yeah, she's going to run great today. And then you'd see her calm and everybody, oh, she looks so great today. And you go, forget it. She's not in the mood.
Is he a horse that you have to spend extra time schooling in the saddling paddock because there's going to be such a big crowd and so much going on?
You know, it's really strange what bothers him. That he's perfect with. He actually comes over, he schools very, very well. It really doesn't faze him. Same with the gate. I always thought the gate would be something he'd be nervous about, and he's doesn't bother him at all. So we have schooled him a lot in the gate, especially in the two hole. We've gone back to the gate several times, and we've gone to the quarter pole and stood and backed out there as well.
Sure.
So I think that part's covered, but he's good about. He just likes to jump up in the shed row and get us going a little bit.
What were your thoughts on his plate trial win, that performance?
You know, he was sitting out of it, but I saw that he's, you know, Raph had a lot of, you know, horse in hand, and then when he, you know, turned for home and he wheeled him out, I thought, oh, here we go. And you could just see his try getting longer, and he'd kind of pass a horse, and they'd look at them, and then he'd kind of get focused and go on to the next one, and, you know, he sort of took his time doing it, but I was pretty confident that he was, you know, he knew where he was going.
Well, he knew where he was going, and he went right to the winner's circle after that victory, hoping to do it again tomorrow. Watch Me Strut, your other entrant, is a great story. What, just a $7,000 yearling? And then here he is looking at an opportunity at $1 million purse.
He was, I guess, you know, anyone who's been to a horse sale, you pick out your horses and you have an idea what you're going to pay for them. And sometimes the hammer drops and you're, you know, you don't know what happened, and there you are with the horse, and that was kind of what happened with him. You know, we carried on, and he's, you know, he's done well. He didn't have a lot of speed as a two-year-old, but he was ready to run, but he wasn't really fast enough to run. So we ended up running 7/8. because there wasn't an option to go two turns, and he lumbered along and was third, and we were like, yahoo, this is fantastic. And then his next start, he woke up a little bit more, and his next start, he won, and there still wasn't a two-turn option for him, so back to, I think, a non-winners of two, going 7/8 came up again, so we ran again, and he won. It was very good, so... Anyhow, he's finally just this year been able to go two turns, and it really seems to be what he wants to do.
What's that feeling like when you get a horse for $7,000 that you think you might have to pay $50, $60, $100? Do you think, did I make a mistake, or
Well, it's funny because people who are looking to maybe buy into a horse, suddenly when they see that $7,000 horse, they say, well, I'll take half.
I know that feeling.
It's that whole thing that the hammer drops. Oh, good, I got the horse, or, oh God. Shoot, I got the horse.
I know. You're right. I mean, going back to the famous one of ours, it was Jambalaya. We bought Jambalaya for $2,500. And so we came home, we were so embarrassed to say we'd paid $2,500 for a Langford. So we, you know, people say, how much did you pay? $25. And then suddenly, oh, well, we'll go in for half. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Why was the Queen's Plate the next logical step for Watch Me Strut? He's never run in a stakes race before. Why was this the right spot?
I mean, we'll know tomorrow if it's the right spot. But he, you know, he certainly wants distance. He wants as much ground, you know, it seems as much ground as we can give him, he'll take. So, you know, it's being a Canadian horse, a big race for $1 million, you know, he's worth taking a shot with, I think.
Talking with trainer Catherine Day Phillips here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Catherine, you've been here before. You've started five horses in the Queen's Plate. You've been close on a couple of occasions, mm-hmm. those 2 seconds. Tell me about them. That was probably a bit heartbreaking, I can imagine.
Probably the most heart, but both were heartbreaking in different ways. A Bit of Gold was a really, really good horse. And he won the plate trial with great authority and broke out of the gate for the Queen's Plate and was as flat-footed as you know I've ever seen a horse. And I just, the first time he cantered by, I was like, oh my God, this is a disaster. And he ran a tremendous race to be second, but he was a very, very good horse. And he won the second jewel of the Canadian Triple Crown and then the third after that. Mr. Farikos to You was probably not quite as talented of a horse. He had the stars aligned and he had a fabulous day. Mike Smith gave him a fabulous ride, and it looked like turning for home. Everybody else was down and scrubbing, and Mike was still sitting quietly, and I thought, here we go. This is good. And then at the last minute, there came the lumbering leopard with outside him, and he got nipped at the wire. So that was a heartbreak, but a different kind of heartbreak.
So you kind of have a sense of what that feeling's like when you think you're going to win the Queen's Plate, right?
Yep.
And you kind of have that feeling. Describe that feeling. When you get that thrill that, oh my God, this might actually happen. What's that feeling like?
Just any time you win a race, I mean, the Queen's Plate is crazy, but any time winning a race, I get a huge thrill. I jump up and down and scream, and not very ladylike at all when it comes to watching races at all. I can be in a dress and it doesn't matter. It's embarrassing, really. Every time I look over, I'll see somebody with a little, you know, camera on me, like, oh no, this is not going to be good.
So much is made about the Queen's Plate for those folks who are from here in Canada and spent most of their careers training mm-hmm. at Woodbine or racing at Woodbine. What's so special about the Queen's Plate other than the fact it's $1 million and it's got so much history? It seems like there's more about it than that.
I don't know. There's a mystique, I guess, that goes with it. The history, I think, that you know, great horses have won the race and a lot lesser horses have won the race, but it's still, it's very coveted. For me, I mean, every year, sort of the world revolves around the Queen's Plate, you know, building up to the Queen's Plate, whether or not I'm in the Queen's Plate or whether I'm just watching the races with my parents or grandparents or you know, the whole world is just focused on the Queen's Plate.
Do you oftentimes go to the sales with your clients and say, we're going to find ourselves, we're looking for Queen's Plate horses, not just horses that we think are going to be good horses, but we're looking for those kinds of horses that can run in the Queen's Plate?
I think it depends on the client. Some clients are looking for horses that are, you know, quick to the races, some action early, and other horses are, people are looking for, a classic type horse. So it, you know, when you try to sort of match up what they want with the horses, you know, that we choose.
Yeah, it's been a little while since you've had a horse in the race. It was 2011, I guess, was your last one, right? So these past 6 years or so, how challenging has it been trying to get back here to this point?
Challenging. We had, our stable really wasn't that strong for a number of years, and it was tough. It was really, it was tough. Racing took a bit of a downturn here at Woodbine. And all in all, I have to say it was... It wasn't a great time. And 2 years ago, we started to get back on track. We got some nice horses. We won a nice stake race with Get Rhythm, and things started to fall back into place. And we've ended up with better horses. And we didn't have a lot of 2-year-olds last year. We only had 6 of them. And but they were pretty nice ones that we had, and so it's just kind of built up a little bit from there. And we have lovely 2-year-olds this year with a lot of pedigree, so it's fun. We're in a good spot.
6 2-year-olds, two of them are here
yeah.
at Queens Plate.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's
nice
extremely
done.
Well
that's
done. That's a good sale. Huh?
It really. I hadn't actually thought of it like that, but that's a good point.
Yeah, very well yeah. done. That's incredible. When you think about your career and everything that you've accomplished, everything that your family's accomplished in this sport, what are some of the things that you're most proud of, Catherine?
I think to walk into the barn and see everything, you know, moving smoothly, running well, running efficiently, everybody doing their job, I think that's, you know, I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of we have an owner's lounge, so we have owners that come in on Saturday and they have a coffee and a donut, and they're really enjoying it, and I think I enjoy watching them enjoying the whole program. That means a lot to me.
If you can win tomorrow, you're going to join Josie Carroll as the only female trainers to saddle a winner of the race. I never particularly care for those types of statistics because, you know, I look at you as a trainer, not as a female yeah. trainer, but what does it mean, I mean, to have your name alongside Josie's in that category as a female trainer to saddle a winner of the race?
I just think it needs to happen. It needs to happen. We need to get it done. We just need to kind of get on with this. And I think it's time.
It is time. And all the best tomorrow. We really appreciate you spending a little time here with us today. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, which is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We encourage everybody to embrace their passion and wear what they love at embracetherace.com. So we will send that up to you, and go get it done tomorrow. We'll be cheering.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.